Good evening. Glad to see everybody out this evening. If you'd like to follow along, we're going to start in Psalm chapter 42. Thank Brother Rick for that prayer for all of us, for me up here preaching. I sure hope I have a ready recollection. I've tried, but I will say I got some big shoes to fill after that lesson this morning, but we're so thankful for Brother Philip and the ability to get up here and preach. And I want to thank Mike for asking me to preach to y'all this evening, and I'm just glad to be up here. Like I said, we're going to start in Psalms 42. We're going to read the first 11 verses if you'd like to follow along. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Well, in this chapter here, the psalmist asks a question. Where is thy God? And we have all had times in our lives when we may have asked the same question, where is my God? So we can all relate to David's question and the bewilderment of how such a loving God can allow His children to go through many things that we have to go through and endure. But David understood God, and he understood that God was always there. Because our God is a spirit. He's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. And we understand this fact, and yet it's interesting to see what sense our God is there. So I ask again, where is thy God? Well, let's notice where God is. First, God is before us. If you flip over a few pages to Psalm 139, read a few verses out of there. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. So basically what that's saying is that God's presence permeates through all the universe. And there's no place that we can go and get away from God. Even though we may think we can, we can't. Because He is the great force that leads us through this world. Because if you remember, in the Exodus, God led Israel out of bondage in Egypt. And His presence was the cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And where was He at? He was before them. He was leading them out. Now the scriptures declare that Jesus is our captain and our shepherd, and He leads us. Paul even felt His leadership, and he was urged to press on. Let's look in Philippians chapter 3. And see what Paul, through the Spirit, writes. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So he was urged to press on. Now second, God is behind us. When he led Israel across the Red Sea, the Israelites could turn around and see their enemies perishing in the Red Sea. And our God shields us from our past sins by remembering them no more. Let's flip over to Hebrews chapter 8, a few pages over. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So, but I do want to ask another question, though. Just what does God do behind us? Well, first, He instructs us in the way of righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, it says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." Second, he inspects our lives. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 says, "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless.'" And third, he pursues us with goodness and loving kindness. In Psalms 23, verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Well, next, he is over us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, "One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." So that tells us He's over us. Now, someone may ask the question, what sense is God over us? Well, the first sense I'd like to look at is that God is over us to send His blessings upon His children. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Secondly, He's over us to see us and hear us when we are tired and weary. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 reads, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So he's over us to protect us, shelter us from harm, and we as his children are also under his overshadowing wings. In Psalm 91, verse 1, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty God." And then lastly, he's over us to reveal his great majesty and his power. In Psalm 19, verses 1 through 2, "The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament, and shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals the knowledge." Well, next, God is around us. I'd like to turn back to Psalms 125. Psalms 125, and we'll be reading verse number 2. Verse 2 says, "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surround his people from this time forth and forever." And we have no greater source of strength to know that he is always near us. And in James chapter 4, the first part of verse 8, it says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Now, the city of Jerusalem was fortified by nature, mountains, and deep valleys. And like that great city, we as God's people are fortified with his everlasting arms. Because he is our protection, he is our support, and we can lean upon him. Well, next, God is underneath us. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, I'll be reading verse number 27. "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you, and he will say, destroy." So he's underneath us. And we never have to fear about what may befall us or happen to us in this life for God, because God is there to catch us. He's even there to give us rest when death knocks on the door. Because the Christian doesn't fear death as most people do because of the promises that God made to us, to Christians. And of course, some of the most comforting words, which is a very well-known chapter in Psalms, is Psalms 23. Now next, God is in us. In John chapter 14, verse number 23, "And Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." God is in heaven, but God is in heaven, but he is said to be in his people. Well, there's nothing mystical about this, nothing confusing about this, if one understands what it means to be in someone or to be in one. Because God dwells in us by faith. And we know that faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So they are with us. And as we follow God's commands, which we learn from his word, and the word lives within our hearts, and we follow his teaching, meaning we abide in Christ's doctrine. So the Godhead dwells within us that way, and that can be seen as we live out the teachings of God. And we have the Bible to tell us what we need to do to have God as part of our life. And the steps are really simple. You got to hear the Word. Romans 10:17. So faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We have to believe. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he who does not believe shall be condemned. Then, of course, we have to repent. Luke 13:3. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We have to confess Jesus. Matthew 10:32. Whoever confesses me before men, he will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And then we be baptized. 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism doth now also save you, not the washing away of filth from the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if anyone here who's not living in God's presence, I'd ask that you would come forward. Or if you have been living in God's presence and you know the truth and you have gone astray, I'd ask that you'd come forward as well as we stand and sing.